A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Yuma Ayin Ches, Yuma 78b, pagination page 156, about midway on the page, maybe a drop below, the beginning of the line is Tanu Rabbanon Tinokos, regarding children on Yom Kippur, Mutarim Bikulan, they are permitted in all of the Inuyim. We don't impose these five types of affliction on the children. Chutz min ilas sandal, except for the restriction on leather shoes. Asks the Gemara, Maishna ne'ilas sandal, why is the restriction of wearing leather shoes different than the others in that we do restrict the children from wearing leather shoes? Drop down about six or seven lines, and then in the middle of the line, the Gemara gives the answer. Elahanoch delav ribisayu gozru buhu rabbonon. An affliction that's not necessary for the child's well-being, so then the rabbis made a legislation of education on the child. But things that are for the well-being of the child, they did not make a legislation. The most pronounced example of this is eating and drinking. The child needs it for his or her well-being. But the Gemara also mentions that things like bathing in their time were also considered necessary and enabled the child to be healthy and well, and therefore they were permitted. The question would be how exactly to extrapolate these halachas to our time, and what exactly is the classification of tinokos, these young children, as opposed to an age which is closer to bar bat mitzvah, at which time we would start introducing the restrictions, at least l'sha'os, for hours, to start getting them into the focus of what the mitzvah is, without infringing on their well-being. So, one of the interesting topics of discussion is shoes. The Mechaber, for example, in Simen Tafresh Tes Zayin, tells us, Hatinokos mutarim b'chol elu, children, young children, are permitted in all of these afflictions on Yom Kippur. Chutz min ilas sandal, except for wearing shoes, that they should not wear shoes. She'in choshin kol kachim lo yinalu, because they don't mind so much not to wear. Not such a big deal not to wear. The Poskim come along and say, whoa, in our time, not to wear shoes, they sure do care. They could get hurt. Our culture, our society, the way we walk, everything is structured that, yes, they should be wearing shoes. At least a decent amount of their activities are done with wearing shoes. Even if they walk around in the bedroom, they're happy not to wear, but for the most part, they wear. And the Poskim, while they voice that objection, but they retract the objection because you could get the children shoes that are not leather and they'd be fine wearing their slippers, and therefore we're back to the approach that they should not be wearing leather shoes because it makes no difference to them to wear leather shoes. As long as they're wearing normal, healthy footwear, they shouldn't get hurt. They're back to the status that it makes no difference to them and therefore they should observe it. And the rabbinic legislation applies. However, by the other items, if indeed the child needs it for their health, so then the rabbis were not restricting it earlier than a specific time. In Sif Beis, the Mechaber tells us, Katan Habori, if a child is healthy, then Ben Teisha Shanim Shlemos, once he's completed 9 years, And if the child's not so strong, then it's Eser Shanim Shlemos, once he's completed 10 years. And the same is for a girl, even though theoretically one might think that a girl, since she's bat mitzvah 1 year earlier than the boy is bar mitzvah, maybe this education or whatever kicks in earlier. Mishneh Berurah points out that we don't do that, and they didn't legislate a different age for girls than for boys. It's the same age, and it simply depends on the strength of the child. If the child is strong, then when they're 9. If they're not as strong, when they're 10. And what do we do at that point? Mechanchen oso l'sha'os. We begin to educate them according to hours, that we restrict them to a certain degree. They should get into the habit of the concept of fasting. The Mechaber's example is actually very tame, that if the child's used to eating 2 hours into the day, so Yom Kippur, you would feed them 3 hours into the day. 3 hours into the day, then you would feed them 4 hours into the day. Really, it's just a token amount, the way the Mechaber describes it. Kidei lechanchan b'mitzvus, in order to educate them in mitzvus. And once the child is ben achas esrei, once the child is 11, then we go further in this education process, even if we don't require them to finish the fast, but we encourage a little bit more. One of the classic questions that comes up regarding eating on Yom Kippur is the question of whether the child should recite Kiddush. So the first step to appreciating the Shaila is that really they would not be reciting Kiddush, because Chinuch is to educate a child so that when they're bar mitzvah, they should do it correctly. And the hope is that the child will not be eating once they are bar mitzvah. And therefore, there's no reason to educate them in the way as if they're going to be eating. But it actually goes a step further, because even an adult who is eating on Yom Kippur, the halacha, the way we paskin, is that the person would not recite Kiddush. Mishneh Berurah, in the end of Siman Tav Resh Yud Ches, tells us that even though there's a discussion, if a person eats bread in the amount that he's going to recite Birchas Hamazon, there's a discussion if he should recite Yalla V'Yavo and Ritzei if it turns out to be Shabbos. But Kiddush bevadai ein lo la'asos. But Kiddush you certainly do not do. And the reason for that is because Kiddush is only something that was legislated when there's a mitzvah to do a meal. And over here, there's no mitzvah to do a meal, and therefore they never legislated Kiddush. So even though you are having a meal, but there was never such a takana to recite Kiddush. And instead, we are mekayim the mitzvah of Kiddush through davening, declaring the sanctification of the day. And some of Farshim point out that there's reason that women should daven Ma'ariv on Yom Kippur, Kol Nidrei Eve, which is a very popular time that everybody davens. Part of it perhaps is because it's a universal tefillah, because that's how we are going to be mekayim the mitzvah of Kiddush. As far as a bracha rishona for a person who is eating on Yom Kippur, they definitely would say the bracha rishona, the bracha before eating. Even though when a person eats prohibited food improperly, what's described as cheating on kosher laws, Rachmana Litzlan, so a person does not recite a bracha on non-kosher food, But if a person is eating the non-kosher food for a health reason, because they are required to do so, if such a situation would apply, or in this case, where the person is eating because Yom Kippur, it's a mitzvah to eat, so he's eating kosher food, but at a time when it's normally prohibited, but at this point he's doing a mitzvah, he's glad that the food exists, he wants the food to exist, he's doing a mitzvah by eating it, mitzvah resulting from pikuach nefesh, and therefore there would be a bracha rishona on what he's doing. One quick thing to add on, that if a child earlier than 9 years old wants to fast, we actually discourage it. The Mechaber in Siman Tafresh Tes Zayin says, Pachos mi ben teisha, the case of a child less than 9 years old, ein ma'anin, we don't impose a fast. And the Rama adds, and if the child wants to, mochin biyado, we discourage it, we object. What we will do is perhaps allow the child to fast at night, so to speak, because the child just ate before Yom Kippur, and like this, they get some sense of being part of the tzibur without actually infringing on their health needs. And likewise, perhaps to be gentle in the morning if they want to eat a little bit later, if that's what got into their head, you don't have to look for a fight. But technically, less than 9 years old, the Rama actually says, mochin biyado, that we would object. Yashar koach, thank you for joining.